If you have your Bibles this morning, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. And I want to entitle this message this morning, "It's Time to Shut the Door on the Devil." It's time to shut the door on the devil. A few weeks ago, I preached on the message, the title being "Taking Back What the Devil Has Stolen from You." And this morning, the title of this message is "It's Time to Shut the Door on the Devil." Father, I just pray this morning that the Holy Spirit will speak to us. Lord, we are looking for the Spirit of God to minister life to us this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we're praying that in our hearts and in our minds, we would experience a mighty breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that your word would tear down every stronghold of the enemy in our lives in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That we would experience Holy Spirit freedom in Jesus' name. Can somebody shout amen this morning? Let the freedom of Christ reign in our hearts, oh God, today. I pray in Jesus' name. Mighty name. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. And I've preached from this verse before here in this church, but I want to bring it to your attention one more time. It says, "Be angry and do not sin." How many know you can be angry and not sin? There's a righteous anger that God wants us to have concerning the things that are happening even in our nation today. But it says, "Be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath." That means that we can't allow wrath or anger to simmer over a long period of time, that we need to deal with it right away. Verse 27 says, "Nor give place to the devil." Nor give place to the devil. What does that mean, to give place to the devil? It means to provide an opening, an entryway. In this instance, regarding the verses I just read, it talks about and relates it to anger. But really, it can be anything. That we can give an opening or an entryway to Satan himself. And you know what the Bible says about sin? The Bible says sin is like a cancer, that once it infects your body, it spreads. How many know what I'm talking about? Sin is like cancer, the Bible says, that if it infects your body, it will spread. And so it's the same thing in this verse. When we give an opening to the enemy and he gets in, he doesn't just stay small. He wants to control more of our life. But through the power of the Holy Spirit and by the blood of Jesus, we need to shut the door on the devil. Can somebody say amen this morning? Need to shut the door on the devil. Now go over to Romans chapter 13, verse 11. and do this knowing the time. And do this knowing the time that it is high time to awake out of sleep. You know, when you're sleeping, that's when the devil does his work. And I'm not talking about sleeping the natural way. I'm talking about sleeping spiritually. We cannot afford to sleep spiritually. We have to be alert all the time. We have to be on guard all the time in the spirit. We have to be awake. The Bible says it's time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. This verse and this series of verses is not talking to sinners. It's talking about us as believers. Are you following me this morning? These verses do not relate to sinners. These verses relate to believers, to you and I this morning. It says to cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us, verse 13, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust. And I underline the next two. I underline them two or three times. Not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Now I want to zero in on the last portion of verse 14. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Say, what does that mean? We're talking about shutting the door on the devil. What does it mean to make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust? Let me define it this morning. It means to supply your flesh with an opportunity to sin. Can I say it again? It means to supply your flesh with an opportunity to sin. Let me define it a little bit more. Add some definition to it. It means to put yourself in a compromising situation. Let me add more to it. It means to sin against your own conscience. So, to make provision for the flesh is to willingly put yourself into a situation. Are you following me? Where you are going to be tempted, where there is a strong possibility that you could sin. You know, there's an old tale that if you take a frog, I'm not recommending you do this morning, okay? But if you take a frog and you put that frog in a bowl of water and you take that bowl of water and you put it on your stove and you just turn up the heat slowly. You don't put it up right away, the farthest you can. You just put the temperature up slowly. The frog will not notice that eventually he's going to be cooked to death. Are you following what I'm saying? I know that's kind of a bizarre illustration. But you know what? It's the same thing with how the devil works. He begins slowly to put you or to lead you into situations that could cause you to sin. And the Bible says we're not to make any provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Hallelujah. It's not how close to the edge we can get and still be holy. It's how far we can be away from the things that would tempt us to sin. Hello? First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. And you know, there's a lot of teaching today in the church about the freedom that we have in Christ. Don't judge me, Pastor. Don't judge me. I want to live my life the way I want to live it because I am free in Christ. You know, someone said to me, Pastor, you won't see me anymore at Grace Christian Fellowship. I said, why not? Because I don't want to come to church and be convicted every Sunday. That's what they said. Friends, thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Thank God that you come to a church where the Holy Spirit can convict us. Not condemn us, but convict us and save us from destruction. Lord, help us. But that's what we hear today. I'm free. Don't judge me. I'm free. Let me do whatever my heart longs for. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, yes, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. Are you hearing me? Can I read it again? Thank you. All things are lawful for me. Yes, I am free in Christ. But not everything I engage in may be helpful to my spiritual life. Isn't that what it's saying? Hello? Yes, I'm free. Yes, you're free in Christ. But not everything we engage in is going to help us in our spiritual journey, in our spiritual life. Hello, someone. There's some things we engage in that are detrimental to our spiritual life. You know, you don't hear too much holiness preaching today. It's not a sin, it's a mistake. Hello? They've changed the terminology. It's not a sin, it's a mistake. How many know there's a difference between a mistake and a sin? We got all kinds of terminologies out there that we're changing. But friends, we can't change what the Word of God says. It's eternal. It's what God has written down. It's how we ought to live. Come on, somebody. It's the way we ought to live. David didn't commit a mistake when he sinned with Bathsheba. He committed a sin. He said, I have sinned, O God, against you. Someone says, well, if you use the word sin, people are going to feel bad about it. You know, it's okay to feel bad, but we've got to let the Holy Spirit do that work in our hearts in the name of Jesus and receive the cleansing flow of the blood of Jesus. Come on, hallelujah. Changing the terminology. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful, beneficial, encouraging to our spiritual life. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. I'm not going to step into the devil's noose or trap and be condemned and be bound by something. There are many things that we as Christians are free to do. They are not sinful in themselves. But oftentimes these things can be a stepping stone to sin. Hello? The act, the first one is not a sin, but the second one could lead to a sin, so why bother to step there? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why bother to put yourself in a dangerous situation for no reason? It's better to step back on safe ground, hallelujah, and stand upon the, oh, I just feel it this morning. Stand upon the word of God, hallelujah. You know, I want to tell you this morning, there are kids sitting on the streets of East Vancouver, hooked by drugs, that grew up in a good home. Can I say it? They grew up in a good home. They can't blame their parents because they grew up in a good home, but it just took one pill. One pill. And they were addicted. There's some places it's better to stay away from. I know that's old-fashioned preaching. That's old-fashioned Holy Ghost preaching. But there are some places it's better to stay away from. Are you hearing me? Let's be with the people of God praying and seeking the face of God. Oh, shatalama, hurraba, kandalaba, shatalama. Some people say, well, you know, I can go to a bar and have a drink. Oh, that was quick. Some people say, yeah, I can go to a bar and have a drink. But why bother? Why put yourself in that situation? Why take that step? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you get the gist of what I'm saying this morning? Why do we bother to put ourselves in that situation? You know, there's two kinds of territories. There's God's territory and there's the devil's territory. And unless God gives you specific direction to go on the devil's territory, it's better to stay out. Are you hearing me? Now, I know sometimes God says, do this specifically, and so you go to do it, and then you get out. I want this message to go out over video. I want this message to go all across Canada. I want this message to go all over the world. Friends, are you hearing me this morning? It's time to get back to God. It's time to take hold of the Holy Spirit. It's time to say, God, I want to be close to you. You see, because there are certain activities, and I'm not going to say all of them, but there are certain kinds of activities that can lead to some kinds of addiction. Are you hearing me? You see, the devil offers the beautiful apple. He's taken the apple, it's been washed, it's even been waxed. You ever see those waxed apples? Don't take those ones. They've been handled too much. And he offers it and says, man, look at this beautiful fruit. Isn't it gorgeous? But what you don't know is that apple is rotten at the core. It's rotten at the core. Oh, I hear it all the time. We just want to have fun, Pastor. You know, I have done so many weddings. I'm really going to step into it this morning. I'm going to get in trouble, but that's okay. I've done so many weddings. And it's not the wedding that's the problem. It's the reception that I have a problem with. You don't know how many weddings I have performed only to step into the reception where there's drinking and dancing and everything that is carnal and fleshly. But they claim to be Christians. I don't understand that, folks. I don't know what your wedding was like, but our wedding was in the church. And our wedding revolved around Christ. Not the world. Are you hearing me this morning? You might not like what I'm saying, but it's not because I'm not saying the truth. It's the truth. We make provision for the flesh. It's a tough message, but I don't care. I'm preaching it. I'm preaching it. There are things that we can engage in that can lead to sin. And you know the problem today is, well, you know, you're not cool. You're not cool, Pastor. You're not cool. Why don't you just let your hair down and just be cool? I don't want to be cool. I want to be holy. I want to walk in holiness. I fear this flesh. Did you know that? I fear this flesh. The spirit is willing, but friends, let me tell you, the flesh is weak. You want to know how weak it is? Put yourself in a compromising situation. And do it continually, and you will find out how weak this flesh is. Come on, it's the truth, isn't it? All things are lawful for me, But I will not be brought under the power of anything. I'm not going to let anything control my life. The Bible says if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. I don't think Jesus was literally meaning to cut your hand off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. I don't think Jesus was saying to literally pluck out your eye. But he was saying there are certain things it's better to cut off so that you can serve God in purity and in holiness and in righteousness. Hallelujah! You say, I'm going to go somewhere where they can tell me a bunch of stuff to make me feel good. I'm not here to make you feel good. I'm here to tell you the truth. Proverbs chapter 9, and I'm going to try to close. Verse 13. Foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house, or a seat by the highest places of the city, to call to those who pass by. You know, there's so many people that would be in church here this morning, but the devil tripped them up. Are you hearing me? We have to pray for them. God can bring them back. We love each other. We can live together even though we're not married. We love each other. We can have sex before marriage because we love each other. As they say in New Brunswick, that's a bunch of baloney. She calls to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, whoever is simple. Let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. What a lie. You know, water is water. It doesn't matter if you drink it in secret or not. It's the same water. You know what Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And you know what that knowledge is, folks? It's the knowledge and the ability to distinguish good from evil. Now, I want to say this morning. There are some things that are written in the Bible that you know is a sin. And there are some things in the Bible that are written that you know is the right thing to do. But then there's a gray area where the Bible doesn't say anything about it. Doesn't say anything. And that's where you need the discerning power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, name it, somebody, that you have the discernment to know, even in those gray areas, what is righteous and what is unholy. And don't go with the crowd. Well, everybody's doing it.
Everybody's doing it, but why can't I do it? Yes? The whole school's doing it, so I'm going to do it too. Well,
but that doesn't mean it's right. Just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean it's right. Let the Holy Spirit discern the situation. Let the Holy Spirit who lives in you show you the right path. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. He will reveal the truth. And don't give in. Hold your ground. Verse 17 says, stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But look at verse 18. But he does not know that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Boy, what an ending. What an ending to this story. The Bible says a good man, his steps are ordered of the Lord. And so every step that we take needs to be ordered of God. I'm not going there. I'm staying over here. I don't care if everybody's over there. I'm staying here where God told me to stay. I'm staying away. If I'm the only one, if I'm alone, if it's just me, friends, I want you to know if it's just you, it's not just you. You've got God the Father. You've got Jesus Christ. You've got the Holy Ghost. Come on. Oh, I feel it in my spirit this morning. Verse 17, and I'm closing. I think. Verse 17 gives us insight into this truth. And I'm not talking about being legalistic. That's not what this message is about. It's about avoiding danger, avoiding compromise, avoiding unholy things. You know, I think about this coronavirus. Someone just sneezes and six people get it. And you know, that's, in a way, that's how sin is. If you get too close to it and the devil sneezes, you get it. Now, I know we can't avoid all certain things we can't avoid as part of our work, being with a family, so on and so forth. You understand what I'm talking about. But there are things we do have control over that we can avoid. Verse 17 gives us insight into this truth. What is it? Here it is. Satan is always working on us to get us to compromise. Are you hearing me? And now, in the church, you don't even need to be a Christian to sing up in the front. You don't need to be a Christian. Everybody, not in this church, but in other churches, anybody can sing up there. As long as they're talented, it doesn't matter if they're Christians or not. They could be in the nightclub the night before, and they could stand up and praise Jesus on Sunday morning. I want you to know that's blasphemy in the sight of Almighty God. This is a holy place. It's a place for the redeemed to lead us. And I speak this morning to every pastor and every religious leader in this nation and in the Pentecostal assemblies of Canada. I declare today it's time to get back to the cross. It's time to get back to the blood of Jesus and away from the things of this world. I know we're not perfect. And this message is not about perfection. We all make mistakes. We all fall into sin sometimes. This message is about avoiding the pitfalls of the enemy so that we can stand strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And friends, we are in the last days. I want to say this, we're in the last of the last days. Everything is happening according to God's plan. And God's saying it's time to take hold of Jesus. Take hold of the old rugged cross and the blood of Jesus and say, Lord, help me. This message is about how weak we are and how we need God in our lives. There's nothing good in us that is in our flesh. The good we have is in the new nature and in the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Be careful what games you play. Be careful what you watch on TV. Be careful where you go. The enemy could be setting you up for a fall. You know, there's one person that I admire that served God to the end, and that's Billy Graham. If they sensed that he was getting a little puffed up, he would open up his hotel room and a bucket of water would fall on his head. It was all set up by his staff. Never went anywhere alone to meet with someone. You know, there's so many tricks the devil's got up his sleeve. Father, I just pray this morning